Today's November 26th of 06, and we're talking about Thanksgiving today. This was the week of Thanksgiving, and I thought I'd start out with a Thanksgiving debriefing. There's always got to be a place to start. So, what are your post-Thanksgiving thoughts and feelings? You obviously survived Thanksgiving, you know. Probably several of us did the 1.3-pound gain. They said college students coming home, I read this, college students coming home will gain 1.3 pounds in that day. And I think I did more than that. What are some of your thoughts and reflections on Thanksgiving? Fasting so that you could eat more. Yeah. See, I did the other thing. I ate more all the way up to stretch it out, you know. You want to shrink it down. I was stretching it out, you know. Yeah. Who else? Thoughts, reflections, feelings? I mean, we had lots of praise and thoughts of, you know, Thanksgiving for getting together when and the many blessings of the... What else? Anybody else have thoughts or reflections? Yes, sir. Wow, lots of kids. Five four-wheelers. Ooh. That's an accident waiting to happen. Yay, praise God. Fun and the best one we've ever had. That's a good reflection. Yeah, still able to cook. So, what was your focus on Thanksgiving? What were you focused on in all of that time? You know, that if you're the chief cook and bottle washer, there's always a tremendous amount of focus on the preparation and the decoration. Good help. You want to do the same thing next year? If it was the best one ever? Maybe. If we can, yeah. And the last question I came up, would you consider a change? Would you consider changing? Yeah, obviously, Alan, I don't have a real big problem with changing things because I change the movie night all the time. See? Change is not a real big difficult thing for me. I actually think the only thing that's consistent in life is change. Everything else is inconsistent, but change is consistent. Everything changes. I'm getting older as we speak. So, was your, you know, oh, here we go. I lost the question, didn't I? What's the Bible context for Thanksgiving? I looked at the Bible and I wondered, is it, you know, for the food? Is it for the our blessings that we have here in this country? Is Thanksgiving for prayer? Is it for praise? What is it all? So I did a word search in 9 different translations for the short word phrase, thanks and giving. And I looked at 9 different translations, and what's on your outline on the back of your bulletin are the verses that popped up. And I found an amazing thing, and I want to show you what the Bible has to say to us. I'll start out with Jesus and Thanksgiving, because Matthew was the first book in the New Testament. I just did the New Testament search. But in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 36, the Bible says, He took 7 loaves and fish. He gave thanks to God. Then He broke them to pieces and gave them to His disciples, and His disciples gave them to the crowd. So you see the thanks and the giving in that phrase. Well, here's the second one in the book of Mark 8:6. So He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks to God. He broke them into pieces and kept giving them to His disciples to distribute, so they served them to the crowd. And this is what is famously known as the feeding of the 4,000. And it's the same story in two different Bible texts. Now, I thought it was really cool that just when God started laying this message out, that he laid it out that we start with Jesus, and Jesus giving thanks to God in the midst of this meal. And I thought, how cool, Thanksgiving, and our country is all around food, isn't it? And it's all around getting a whole crowd of people together. My sister would love to get together 4,000 people for dinner. You know, the more the merrier, you know. So a 4,000 dinner would be good. Now, so what was Jesus saying in his thanksgiving? If Jesus gave thanks to God, what's the traditional Jewish thanksgiving? Do you know what the traditional Jewish pattern is? See, Jews don't do like us Gentiles, where when they kneel down to pray, they do something spontaneous. Very seldom do they do spontaneous things like that. They're pattern approved. Here's basically what it is. I had it in Hebrew, and I said, oh, no, I am not going to try to translate that in Hebrew in front of everybody. It's too embarrassing. So I kind of took the King James translation of it. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, who has created the grain of the field. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, who has sustained us and enabled us to reach this season. That would be very much the English translation of what Jesus said on that hill. And he would bless the Creator and the Sustainer at that time. And as I began to look at all these Bible verses, here's the questions that came up that are on your outline. Did Jesus give thanks for the food or to the provider of food? He gave thanks to the provider. Now, in our culture, in our Christian culture of 2006, is that the pattern that we have been taught and practice? No, I don't think so. But I think as you look at all of these Bible verses, and this is all of them, and they had 9 different translations that had those two words, I think that when you look at the context of all of these verses, you'll discover an amazing thing, that it's something I didn't know, something that I've been off on. But he gave thanks to the provider. So do I bless the food or the provider? Because I'm a preacher boy, a lot of times I sit down at meals and they say, preacher boy, will you give thanks for the food or will you bless the food? Hey, I get called on to do that all the time. And I said, sure. And sometimes I will say, well, I won't bless the food, but I will bless the provider. And that pattern probably is a better pattern, but a lot of times what we do is we worship the gift rather than the giver. Think about it. On Thanksgiving, did you gather around that big bountiful table and worship the food? We all kind of joke, you know. I watched a 2020 thing the other night where they had these radical evangelists on this. One lady's evangelism, you know, the contagious Christianity. She's an ex-stripper, and so she goes to strip joints and tries to evangelize the dancing girls and invites them to come to church. And when the commentator says, well, what do you mean strippers come into church? She says, well, the gluttons come to church. The liars come to church. Why can't the strippers come to church? They need Jesus just as much as everybody else. Now, probably if your meal was anything like the two I did that day, I was over the line. I was in the gluttony. I ate more than I needed. Any of the rest of you confess that sin as well? You know? But here's what happens, is we begin to worship the gift rather than the giver. We begin to focus on the creation rather than the Creator. In many arenas on Thanksgiving, the important gig about Thanksgiving is that all of our family is there. And we worship the reality of all of us get together rather than embracing the one who made all of them. Is that making any sense to you? We get distracted in our culture, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't enjoy the food and you shouldn't be thankful for the food. You should. I'm not saying you shouldn't be thankful for the creation of family and that they get together. You should. I want to get together with my family. But here's what's happening is I'm leaving out the most important component. Did any of you catching up with me here? That when I have enough food to eat and some to share, I want to give thanks to God. And I want to have people over and share it with. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, you see the word thanks. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before I give you the rest of the verse, I want you to look at this. Jesus is God. He was God when He walked on earth, but He still had a reverent, respectful relationship to His God and Father. What happens in our culture, in Christian culture, is that we've lost our deep, reverent respect for our God. And we talk to Him like a father. Jesus didn't do that. He is our model, and then here's the rest of the book, the verse. For in our union with Christ, He has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. So as you look at this, what's the Bible context of thanksgiving here? I think that you could agree with me that it's prayer. When you're giving thanks to God in the name of the Lord Jesus, doesn't that sound like praying? Here is the Bible context for thanksgiving. It's prayer. Now, if we look a little further in Ephesians to verses 16 and 17, I have not stopped giving thanks, you can see where the word search was, to God for you. I remember you in my prayers. And I ask the God of our Lord Jesus, there again is that reverence, that God of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, and what does He ask? To give you the Spirit who will make you wise and reveal God to you so that you will know Him. So, what's the Bible context here for Thanksgiving? It's for prayer. And what are we supposed to pray for? We're supposed to pray like Paul was. No, this is Peter. Paul. I was right in the first place. Right. Paul prays that you would come to remember in your prayers each other and that you would ask for the Holy Spirit to be poured out onto us. One of the things I want to happen next year, and more even yet this year, is that our spiritual gifts would be used in our body of fellowship. And that's asking for that. So here's a little further in Ephesians 5:21. Giving thanks always in all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. So what's the Bible context here? I think the blank is the same. It's prayer. Again, in our time of prayer, one of the most important components is giving thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And from that, then the effect is that we submit to Him and to one another. But the context for thanksgiving is in prayer. So if we move on to Philippians, see how we're going right through the New Testament, Ephesians, Philippians. Never worry about anything, period. Never worry about anything, period. But in every situation, let God know what you need in prayers and requests while giving thanks. So what's the Bible context here again? Prayer. When you think about thanksgiving, I think that what you're going to see by the end of this outline is that in almost every Bible verse, it's the same thing. This is one sentence. And it may be the most powerful sentence that I read so far this year. It's from Colossians chapter 1, and it takes all the way from verse 12 to 17. Giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That has got to be one of the greatest sentences in the whole book, doesn't it? And as you look at that, let me try to summarize it. That accidentally, you got two Colossians, one on your outline. I didn't catch that, and my publicist didn't catch that either. But here's a kind of a summary. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us to be saints, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. So, the Bible context here again is prayer. And oftentimes what happens in my life is I begin to thank God for making me a saint. I begin to thank him for delivering me, for translating me, because I need to be translated. I wasn't right. I want to thank him for the redemption. I want to thank him for the forgiveness. But I've got it wrong. You'll hear me pray this as I try to fix it. But I thank him for the blessing rather than who he is as the blesser. Do you see the little subtle offness to that? And did he bless us? Yes. Did he make us saints? He made me a saint. I did not accomplish it on my own. My brother and I were joking the other day, but Kent probably has sainthood because he's lived with our sister for 40 plus years. He's acquired sainthood. Even the Catholic Church would probably give him sainthood. You know? And we joked about that. The reality is Kent's a saint, but it's not because he lives with my sister. It's because of the amazing blessing and gift that God gave. And so I want us in our prayer time to come back to giving thanks unto the Father. We move on to the book of Colossians in chapter 3, verse 17. Everything you say or do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God and the Father through him. Be persistent in prayer. Keep alert as you pray, giving thanks unto God. See, here again are two verses in Colossians that the Bible context for the word phrase thanksgiving is prayer. What God's calling us to is whatever you say, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything you say, everything you do should be thankfully done in worship of the Father. See, I've been scratching my bald forehead trying to figure out how do we develop the worship in our fellowship. And here's how we do it. We do it privately. We do it personally as we adopt the biblical attitudes in our prayers. 1 Timothy, moving on through the New Testament, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for the kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all goodness and honesty. Here again, the context is prayer. In our prayers, we should be making supplications, we should be making intercessions, and we should pray for all of the men and women that are in authority over us. Whether they be Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, whoever. Because prayers of thanksgiving from a clean, pure heart impact and affect lives. As you and I have been reading through the New Testament together and reading a portion every night, did you notice that some guys prayed that it wouldn't rain for years? And it didn't. Obviously, when I cut down the Christmas tree the other day, somebody's been praying that it rained around here because it did rain good this year, didn't it? But see, our prayers can have an impact and effect on everything and all of those that are in authority over us, and we should do them in thanksgiving. Now here's the last one. We get to the book of Hebrews, and that's where they ran out. By Him, Jesus, therefore, let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that the fruit of our lips, thanks, or giving thanks to His name. So this is the only one that the context is different. It's praise. It's praise this time. The sacrifice of praise, giving thanks. So here's the summary then. What's the Bible context of thanksgiving? Prayer and praise to God. That's the... When I looked up all these verses and I'm trying to figure out, well, how am I going to come up with a 3-point outline on all of these verses about thanksgiving? And the more I looked at them, the more I realized it ain't a 3-point outline. Wrong grammar, correct theology. It isn't a 3-point outline. It's really a 1-point outline. In my prayer life, my prayers should consist of giving thanks. Thanksgiving to God. Now, some of you have seen this. Our goals and desires for next year is life change, growth. In the end of the year, I'm more like Jesus. New believers added to our body. Each of us knowing and using our spiritual gifts. And the bottom one, more personal prayer time by each of our members. Now, I made the red one on the bottom because how do you get to that thing at the top? How do you get to life change? You start at the foundation. What am I leading you to do? Change the foundations of your prayer life. Am I saying that you shouldn't pray and count your blessings? No. But I think you should start at the beginning giving thanks unto the giver of all of those blessings, worshiping Him and attributing His attributes back to Him. One of the main things in our culture these days is the conflict over, is all that we see a result of evolution or an intelligent creator? From that foundation, your religion, your worship of God or worship of creation goes in two major different directions. We need to acknowledge in a relatively normal fashion the Creator. We need to be thankful for Him and that He is a sustainer. So, as you look at your personal prayer time this week, this month, next year, I want you to think about putting the correct context of thanksgiving into that. Now, here's the bottom line. Here's the end of the outline. Do I want my life to change? What will I change in my prayers? How many of you know what this is? Tell me what this is. It's a salt shaker full of salt, right? Now, when you sit down to your Thanksgiving meal, did you have some of this on the table? Is this the mainstay of your Thanksgiving meal? Build some on the carpet. Is that it? Is that the mainstay of your meal? Does that little bit of salt have a direct impact and influence on what you put it on? Every cooking show that I watch with Julie, they always say, hey, add a little salt for flavor. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm not a racist. I like the white one and I like the black one just as much. I put them both on. I'm not just a white guy. I like the white stuff and I put the black stuff on too. I'm not racist in my seasoning of food. But salt has a direct impact on anything that you add it to, doesn't it? What if in this gourmet meal of life, we salted it a little bit with thanksgiving? We flavored everything put before us with just a little salt. Not enough to send our blood pressure over the... Right? Not enough to... But seasoning it a little bit. Everything that we have, we season it a little bit with salt. Thanksgiving. Not for the gift until after we've acknowledged the giver. Not for the creation until we've acknowledged and worshiped the Creator. Not for the food until we've attributed the great blessing of the provider. Does that make sense? It's adding to, not necessarily stopping. I want to worship the Creator. I want to worship the Provider. I want to worship the Sustainer. I want to worship Him by giving thanks.